got to register. We have got to basically rescue everybody. We've got to educate everybody. That's our challenge. But obviously, at 59 minutes after the hour, we're not going to solve it today. But we will begin that process, I promise. This is Bill O'Brien. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope that you'll do it again and that you'll make the Head On Radio Network a regular listening and talking habit, that you use the call line and that you'll call in. Please have a wonderful weekend. Be safe.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush signed an agreement on the production of ethanol with Brazil's president today. The agreement encourages increased production and development of standards of ethanol. At a press conference, Bush said increasing alternative fuel use will lead to more jobs, a cleaner environment, and greater independence from the oil market. According to the Justice Department, the FBI improperly and in some cases illegally used the Patriot Act to secretly obtain personal information about people in the United States. The report says the agency forces telecommunication and banking companies to turn over private information much more often than it admits. President Bush's troop surge in Iraq may be bigger and more expensive than he stated in January. According to the Associated Press, the number of support troops needed for the surge has more than doubled to 7,000. The original price tag of $5.6 billion has been increased by an additional $1 billion. In Guantanamo Bay, military hearings began today for 14 terrorist suspects, including the man authorities say masterminded the 9/11 attacks. The suspects were moved to the Cuban prison from secret CIA jails overseas. The press is forbidden to witness the trials. Braving suicide bombers, snipers, and mortar bombardments from Sunni extremists, around 2.5 million Shiite pilgrims have arrived in the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to take part in 2 days of annual religious ceremonies. Potential Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is admitting to having an extramarital affair while leading the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton for having an extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky. The former Speaker of the House edged the indiscretion during an interview with James Dobson on his Focus on the Family radio show. In Georgia, an 18-year-old Ohio baseball player pulled from the wreckage of a bus crash that killed four of his teammates died of his injuries this morning. A hospital spokeswoman says he had been in critical condition since the crash last Friday. Three other players and the team's coach remain hospitalized in intensive care. Also in Georgia, the state school board proposes to offer Bible classes in public schools. Overwhelmingly endorsed by the legislature, the bill promises that classes will be taught in a non-devotional way and is not meant to indoctrinate students. Daylight savings time begins this Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Remembering to spring forward, however, isn't going to be as hard for you as it will be for your computer. Most computers were programmed to make the switch before Congress changed the decades-old law on time. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business next.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book full of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
Meeting in Brussels, EU leaders have agreed on a number of measures to fight global warming, specifically pledging to cut carbon dioxide emissions 20% by the year 2020. The negotiators, however, failed to reach consensus on mandatory use of renewable energy sources. Used oil from restaurant kitchens may soon be your face. Researchers at Dowling College in New York have come up with a way to take used vegetable oil and recycle it fairly cheaply into cosmetic soaps. The U.S. hotel and restaurant industry uses over 3 billion gallons of vegetable oil a year. Researchers hope to begin using the new technology next year. Ford Motor Company will give bonuses to most of its workers despite posting a record $12.7 billion loss last year. The company is trying to improve employee morale in the midst of downsizing. The bonuses will be paid to eligible employees in the United States and Canada. The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 4.5% in February, even as big losses of construction jobs held back overall payroll growth. Forbes magazine's annual rankings of the wealthy say there are 946 billionaires in the world, and their combined wealth increased 35% in the past year. With a total worth of $56 billion, Microsoft founder Bill Gates is the wealthiest person. Light sweet crude trading at $60.05 a barrel, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up 18, the NASDAQ flat, and the S&P 500 is up 2 points. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Happy Friday, everybody, on that side. It's Saturday morning here. I'm a little slow getting going this morning. You know that thing you do sometimes, or actually don't do, forget to turn the alarm on and wake up like an hour late? Well, it was a bit of a rush getting together today, but we got plenty going on. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and before we get into the proceedings, if you didn't catch Bob Kincaid's show yesterday, do me a favor and go to White Rose, and after you leave a donation, download yesterday's show, and check that out. Something a little bit different. And if you missed it, I think a bit of the history of what this network's about. And I got in on the game, and we had a great time having a bit of a chat. Bob, myself, Wayne. It's definitely worth your time to go and grab that archive. But anyway, we got a whole bunch of stuff. Suppressed climate change findings, large-scale green power projects, all kinds of stuff. But just before going to air, popping in my mailbox from my good friend Weeze, who runs MachineGunKeyboard.com, he sent me, and I'm sorry, I just got to go here. And Bob, I hope you're listening, because you'll just absolutely love this. There's a great website, www.thesmokinggun.com, and there you can find various contract riders and whatnot for various rock bands and things. And he sent me the contract rider for Iggy and the Stooges. Now, this isn't the what kind of beer they drink part of the rider. Actually, this is from page 3, and there's a link to this in today's blog post. And I've been in tears reading this thing for the last 20 minutes. Now, this page is this would be written to whoever the promoter is of the gig on whether they hired someone like me or not. And if I was the guy that they hired, and being that I am qualified, I would find this hysterical. And this is written by, obviously, a very well-worn, long-term touring front-of-house engineer, I can imagine. And, I mean, the whole thing's a riot. You know, they go through all the amplifiers that they require and all the stage gear, and it's hysterical the way it's written. But on page 3, and I'm just going back to it here, monitor requirements. We need 1, monitor man who speaks good English and is not afraid of death. Only joking, or am I? Also, he needs to know a little bit about monitors. This may seem a little obvious, but believe me. For example, in Santiago de Compostela, in Galicia, northern Spain, they appear to think if they just ignore riders like this, then supply a fat bearded hippie with a digital monitor desk, who doesn't know shite about EQing and monitor wedges, that would be better suited to wedging doors open, and a load of stage managers and PA geezers and promoter reps who shout a lot, that this is the same as actually providing what a band needs in order to do a gig to the best of their ability. And if they deny that their gear is no good, it will suddenly mysteriously become good. I've so been here. I'd just like to say that the next time the Stooges get booked for their festival, I'm going to turn up with some pickled eggs, a small blue vibrator, and with a jelly dolphin balanced on the shaft, and a set of dog-eared encyclopedias with volumes E through G missing, and a screwdriver that's actually been dropped in the toilet. And then say, when they say, "That's not the Stooges," I'm going to say, "Yes, it is." And then you'll say, "No, it isn't." And I'm going to say, "Yes, it is. See how they like it, suckers." Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes! Oh, I'm going to run out of time. But let's see how far I can get. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. We do not have our own monitor man, because in the future, robots will work for us and make the world a better place. Sorry about that rant about Santiago. By the way, I just wanted to get it off my chest, and killing people is so 80s, don't you think? The next page contains the information you require. Bear with me. Not a real bear, of course. By the way, our guitar roadie Chris assures me that the panda is not of the genus bear. It is actually part of the pig family. Could this possibly be true? And if not, why would he risk telling me? So that I can tell the whole world his half-baked theory? Unbelievable. Ah, that is just a thing of beauty. And there's like 14 pages of this. Down to... Can we please have a quote-unquote drum rug? This is a carpet with some little bits of yellow tape on one side marked front. We'll call this the front side. Oh, now wait, I'm confusing myself. So, when you see that image of, you know, technicians on the road being sarcastic, grumpy, we're not really. It's just a very, very twisted sense of humor. But this is reality on the road. This is so reality on the road. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, we're sliding into our first break. We'll get into some real stuff. But, you know, I could end up coming back and mentioning a few other things from here. But it's just brilliant stuff. Anyway, thesmokinggun.com, there's all kinds of just really silly stuff there. But, yeah, they've got contract riders for days. It's a good laugh. Anyway, folks, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, dial 1-877-443-2366. or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and we will see you straight after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right, they include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Roll a bit, Agnes. Go, Mark.
Won't you be my darling? Won't you be?
Very nice. Very nice. But a diesel Mark Lazat. Anyway, folks, let's get back to business here. Little bit of a disturbing thing going on here. Anyway, let's see. Where was I? Sorry about that. Here at the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, there's a little bit of a disturbing thing going on. And there's reports, and I think I mentioned something about this before the report came out, the last big climate change report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. There were some worries about whether or not it was going to be a watered-down thing. And now, sorry, I happen to have a little communication with the studio there. But anyway, and I have to look back and see if I can find the story. There was a couple of them, a couple people who were worried about this report. Now, I couldn't find them before the show, but it says here from Wendy Frew, their environmental reporter. It says references to the potential for climate change to happen faster had been expected were watered down or removed from an intergovernmental report on climate change, and this has to do with the feedback loop part of part of the data that's been coming of late. One thing that they didn't expect, and this is something that they've seen with the increase in the rate of the melting of the polar caps, is the fact that there's a bit of feedback looping going on here. And just like when a microphone hears its own speaker too much and it starts to amplify itself and you get that feedback squeal, in the same way, it continues to accelerate and get stronger and faster, the rate of climate change. And so this is why time after time, previous estimates on certain benchmark things like the rate of the ice melting constantly kept coming up short, and it kept seeming every time that they re-chunked the data, it was going faster, and then it was going faster. And so, and I do remember people having concerns about this in the science community, that this might get pulled out. And it says most of the references to positive feedback, here we go, when a change in the climate leads to additional and enhanced changes, were cut from the final version of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report released last month in Paris, the magazine says. The story published this week relies heavily on line-by-line analysis done by the British climate change analyst David Wadsall. And I have not had time to get into reading the document itself. Not in the Stern report. I still have to finish. Who said he was astounded at the alterations that were imposed by government agents during the final stage of review of the report. The evidence of collusional suppression of well-established and world-leading scientific material is overwhelming, he said. So this ain't good. The story also quotes the University of Cambridge ocean physicist Peter Wadhams, who said the public needs to know that the policymaker's summary, presented as the united words of the IPCC, has actually been watered down to substitute in subtle but vital ways by governmental agents before the public was allowed to see it. The Bush administration has been accused of muzzling scientists who want to speak publicly about topics such as polar bears, the melting of sea ice and climate change. Leaked emails from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service revealed that that foreign travelers on U.S. government businesses were not allowed to speak on or respond to questions about these issues in any public forum, Reuters reported. Eek! The U.S. has refused to ratify the Kyoto Protocol, as we know. I would say it's gold standard science. What we write down is what we can defend to the death, he said. This is a big jump from being conservative science to saying that government agents are writing it. That's just baloney, and that comes from Monash University. But there were whispers of this before the report came out, so I'm not necessarily surprised. And I've seen things to this effect. I think Gene sent a few things through to me about the fact that talking about that the polar bears are doomed and in short, pretty short notice here, is just a taboo subject. We just can't, they're just not allowed to talk about it, which is just awful. So that'll lead us to our track of the day, and we'll come back and cover some other stuff. But this suddenly is seeming more appropriate. I just decided to go and get something just kind of nice for a Friday. And so I decided to go to New Zealand's Beatles, who were adopted by Australia. And that would be Crowded House. And these guys just write nice stuff. That's all it is. It's just really, really nice music. And they're actually having a reunion tour, which is minorly interesting. As in, the drummer died about 2 years ago, and so I reckon that one of the boys' sons will probably play drums. I think there's a couple to pick from. But off of probably their greatest album as a whole, an album called Woodface. And I would suggest this should be in your record collection. Just go get it. You will not be disappointed. This is just it's an outstanding piece of great kind of pop harmony rock stuff, you know, early Beatles. Early Beatles is just, you know, it's all I can ever think of. And just there's not a bad track on this album. So without further ado, from Woodface, Four Seasons in One Day. Roll it, Agnes.
Stormy weather at 57 Mount Pleasant Street. Well, it's
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
And another thing, I've been wondering lately.
All right, everybody, welcome back. The odds. All right, Gene sent me this from JetsonGreen.typepad.com, Jetson Green, and I thought this was kind of a cool thing, just about, you know, one of the big subjects about, you know, trying to do better by the planet is to, you know, build our homes to be more efficient, blah, 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 you know, and so green building is a huge, huge part of things, and got a thing, green building, a landscaper's perspective, and got 11 kind of points, not kind of points, got 11 points, about, you know, just how to go about your gardening, you know, because it actually has an impact, you know, so, and, you know, it all seems, you know, some of it's very common sense, incorporate native plants in your landscaping, plant deciduous shade trees to reduce energy use. Planting deciduous shade trees, trees that drop their leaves in the fall, is a great way to cool your home and reduce your air conditioning costs during the summer. When these trees drop their leaves, they also allow sunlight to warm your home or building during the winter. Kind of makes sense. Plant evergreen trees to block cold winter winds. Evergreen trees are very useful if you want to create a natural windbreak to reduce those chilly winds that hit your home during the winter. And I mean, I'm only touching on some of this. Use efficient, non-polluting, real or electric lawnmowers. And in fact, the image on the page is a guy with, you know, an old
just, you know, no power, you know, barrel roller, you know, U-Butte lawnmower. I've actually been kind of looking for one of those myself. Keep hoping I'm going to find someone throwing one out that I can fix. Cut down on energy use with solar-powered landscaping lights. Those are becoming really affordable these days, which is cool. Use rain barrels to irrigate. Compost. That's probably one of the biggest things, and I mean that's got such a double win. You know, it's a because it cuts down dramatically on what you send to landfill. So, composting. You know, if you can do it, I reckon, and I've heard from people who know much more than me, you know, that's actually a big one for kind of your greenness factor. And they say here, composting occurs in nature and is a process that keeping organic nutrients cycling from soil to plants and back to the soil. You can use organic waste from your home to return needed nutrients to the soil. Things like fruit peels, grass clippings, leaves, etc. are great materials to recycle and mix into the garden soil. Composting has many benefits, including reducing municipal waste, improving soil moisture retention, boosting plants' immune systems, and reducing the need for chemical fertilizers. And there's a link to a guide to garden composting at this thing. Like I said, jetsongreen.typepad.com. He's got some good stuff here. And grow a small kitchen garden of fruits and vegetables. And that's also another one that really kind of ends up with some probably fairly unforeseen run-on effects, because, you know, if you're requiring that less, you know, even just, you know, herbs and whatnot, you know, need to be stocked at, you know, the garden markets, it's less fossil fuels being used in transport. You know, it's part of that, you know, and I mean, if you're getting your fruits and vegetables locally, you know, you're not using, you know, industrialized farming methods, which, as I've mentioned many times before, for every calorie of food you intake, we've burned 10 calories of fossil fuel. And that I think is one of the most insane parts of our modern world, if you ask me, when it comes to when it comes to what we're up against, you know, why it's so unnecessary. It's proven so unbloody necessary. But anyway, it's a really cool thing. Kent Swanson is responsible for that. Guest contributor to Jetson Green. Yeah, I only touched on about half of them, so, you know, I would suggest going there. Where is this from? From Reuters via Yahoo News. There's a report saying that states undercharge polluters. Big surprise. States from Alabama to Wyoming collected such low fees from major polluters that they have shortchanged efforts to fight air pollution by up to $50 million, an environmental group reported on Wednesday. Those states either charged emissions fees lower than the minimum federal government standards or put a limit on how much each polluter was compelled to pay in those fees, according to the nonprofit Environmental Integrity Project. Only the polluters come out ahead of the game under an arrangement where states let them off the hook rather than doing what they're supposed to under federal law, the group's Eric Schaefer said at a telephone news briefing. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency requires states to pay nearly $40 for each ton of emissions of the most noxious air pollutants, including sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, and smog-forming volatile organic compounds. Businesses that emit these compounds include power plants, refineries, cement kilns, incinerators, and chemical plants. States are responsible for collecting those fees and bear most of the burden for monitoring emissions, inspection, and enforcing the law. So, you know, here's a great example of, you know, the law is only as good as the enforcement. And, you know, they ain't doing it. The environmental group said at least 18 states collected fees, underfunded programs.
The Environmental Protection Agency's John Millett questioned the report, saying that part of the Clean Air Act sets out the fees known as Title V. These improve compliance by helping sources of air pollution understand their requirements and has improved record-keeping and reporting. I haven't seen anything about enforcement. Millett said by email that if fees were less than the federal minimum standard, the state or local government must provide a detailed analysis showing why these fees are adequate. EPA has reviewed all of the 112 Title V programs submitted and found the fees to be adequate. Okay, how about collecting the money? Schaefer cited the law, noting it was meant to pay for emissions and ambient monitoring modeling, analyses and demonstrations, and tracking emissions. I still don't see anything about enforcement. We are not claiming that Title V fees will cover everything from soup to nuts, Schaefer said in a telephone interview, but he added, it's a significant part of the program, and in some states it seems to be underfunded because the fees are too low. The report found that Louisiana collected $9.8 million less than it could have under the federal minimum standard, while Texas collected $5.6 million less, North Carolina $5.4 million, and Florida $4.5 million. That adds up. More than a dozen of the states collected millions less than they might have, the report said. You know, that all... that's just really, really unfortunate, isn't it? My next thing up here, but you know, I still saw nothing in there about actually collecting the money. So, you know, how about let's get to what the real story is, you reckon? Where do I want to go? Oh, this is something that I didn't get to yesterday. I'm just waiting for it to come up. And I didn't even get a chance to read this, so this is sight reading here and sight unseen. But, you know, Gene sends things through and you see a link that says compostable cars, and you got to have a look. And so at Celsius, CELSIAS.com, who we have go to often, they have a post here, compostable cars. and these are the folks that brought us the air car story. And it says, our server survived the onslaught of attention brought by our recent air car story. There was a lot of interest discussion on the efficiency angle of the air car engine, i.e. how much energy it consumed on charging, and the ultra-high power cylinders, and would you get as much energy output in return than if you were simply charging a battery for an electric car instead. Some believe the air car is the best thing since sliced bread. I happen to be one of them. And others believe it's a dream or even a hoax. That would be unfortunate. Time will tell, I guess, although it appears the air car's release date has been moved forward several times before. Anyway, on another slant about the green vehicle angle, how about a car that once it's run its course could throw into the compost pile out in the yard and dig it in with your kitchen scraps? Okay, yes, I'm taking this whole biodegradable car thing a little far. I can't seriously see you finally beating our neighbor's award-winning tomatoes just because you've retired your aging commuter. But unless there's people making tangible steps to build a biodegradable agri-cars. Above and left, there's some photos here of, I guess this is a model, is a Mercedes concept car, the RECY. This car was presented in December at the Los Angeles Auto Show's Design Challenge. They have a link to say head over there and see more images of a rundown on a major features. High-res downloadable images, and note the woody grain in the body panels. Well-suited to Californian weather conditions, and I imagine a few celebs might be tempted to pick one of these up. There might even be enough room for the likes of the current governor. Mercedes aren't the only people thinking along these lines. Ohio State University's Ohio Agriculture Research and Development and the University of Akron's Goodyear Polymer Center have joined in conversations to explore the development of a U.S.-made agri-car. Kind of interesting. And it goes on. So, okay, sounds a little strange at first, but okay, talking about materials that you can then return. This is kind of an interesting vibe.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about that. We
lost the connect there for a moment, I understand. So I have no idea how much of that whole compostable blah, 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 car thing. But, you know, interesting, making cars out of components that one can return back to the soil after they've outlived their usefulness. So, now, I have to say I'm disturbed about that first story that I read about, that the IPCC report was watered down. And, you know, this is not the time for holding back when it comes to the science. We just, you know, I mean, this is just, I find this just, it's negligent, really. That was the word I was looking for. I think holding back what might be one of the most important aspects of, you know, one of those, you know, and we've also learned this, you know, this idea of the feedback loop, positive feedback. And this has become more and more apparent over the science of the last 10 years, I think it is. You know, it's something that all of a sudden, you know, the flashing lights have gone off and the scientists have gone, folks, there's this too, okay? And as you can see by the numbers, and you know, how much of this actually has to do, and I think it's actually one of the most important PSAs that gets played on this network is that Hattie, that Baxter Black one, because the effects of population, and this is one of those subjects, man, you can get in big doo-doo with some people. We got too many of us. This is part of the problem. And Tom Hartman covers this. I mean, it's kind of like the whole conceptual bubble that The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is written on, is the fact that the Industrial Revolution has made it possible for us to sustain a population which we'd normally not be able to sustain. Now, that's only been made possible by the burning of fossil fuels. And this population, like the agriculture, blah, 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 is only sustainable by the depletion of energy stored deep, deep, deep in the earth that is very old and takes a long time to regenerate. And we're ending up, and because of this, we're now seeing the inverse kind of thing where, you know, just it's increasing in speed. We've hit the point which, you know, I guess one could say is the tipping point where it's now become a thing unto itself. But it's only that way because we continue to feed it. And holding back on science now is just ludicrous. It's absolutely just ludicrous. I cannot even express how much this kind of thing at this time in what was supposed to be the consensus document and the Bush administration silencing scientists, and there's been a lot of this stuff going on. There's been a lot of money thrown around, too, trying to buy the statements of some of the world's best climatologists, and they're just saying, nah. Lots of them. But you know, if we're running into a situation where, you know, they're being told that they can't even talk. And the polar bear thing, that to me is like the unspoken story that I reckon would be great on television. What's Coca-Cola doing about those polar bears that they so rely on for those very fancy animated ads? You know, I reckon they should be stepping up. They got the money. But anyway. Feedback loop. I mean, that seriously is that's sound science. And I mean, feedback loops occur all the time in nature. And in technology, they happen as well. Believe me, a whole bunch of my career was dealing with feedback loops. So if it can happen with a speaker and a microphone, how can you tell me that it's not possible when it comes to the cycle of the depletion of the resources and the cycle of climate change? So anyway, I'm going to leave it with you there. And thank you to Agnes Kincaid for producing the program. I was a bit slow today. Sorry, I woke up late, folks. But I made it. I really need that extra hour and that extra mug of coffee. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Fundraiser still going on. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters for everything that they do. Thanks to Peter Godbold and our mods, our bloggers, Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions, and as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. More pointedly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever
ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step in any revolution. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I...
This is the Quality News Network. According to the Justice Department, the FBI improperly and, in some cases, illegally used the Patriot Act to secretly obtain personal information about people in the United States. The report says the agency forces telecommunication and banking companies to turn over private information much more often than it admits. President Bush signed an agreement on the production of ethanol with Brazil's president today. The agreement encourages increased production and development of standards of ethanol. At a press conference, Bush said increasing alternative fuel use will lead to more jobs, a cleaner environment, and greater independence from the oil market. In Brazil, nearly 8 in 10 new cars already run on fuel made from sugarcane. President Bush's troop surge in Iraq may be bigger and more expensive than he stated in January. According to the Associated Press, the number of support troops needed for the surge has more than doubled to 7,000. The original price tag of $5.6 billion has been increased by an additional $1 billion. President Bush says he'll veto any congressional legislation setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Iraq. Two Democratic proposals have been introduced in the House, both setting deadlines for the troops to come home. In Guantanamo Bay, military hearings began today for 14 terrorist suspects, including the man authorities say masterminded the 9/11 attacks. The suspects were moved to the Cuban prison from secret CIA jails overseas. The press is forbidden to witness the trials. Braving suicide bombers, snipers, and mortar bombardments from Sunni extremists, around 2.5 million Shiite pilgrims have arrived in the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to take part in 2 days of annual religious ceremonies. Potential Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is admitting to having an extramarital affair while leading the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton for having an extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky. The former Speaker of the House acknowledged the indiscretion during an interview with James Dobson on his Focus on the